This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Can we believe in Jesus but not be a follower of Jesus? James, the brother of Jesus, made this point in chapter 2 of his letter. Even the demons believe and they shudder, but does belief make one a Christian? In the second part of this two-part message entitled Believer versus Christian, Pastor Scott shares a formula used to determine whether a person is a believer or a Christian. This message was delivered on October 28th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Well, if you missed last week, you can catch the message, the audio part online. But we're talking about believers versus Christians, and before I became a Christian, a follower of God, I believe that there was a God, and I believe Jesus was God, but I didn't follow him, I didn't reflect him in my lifestyle, but I knew, like I said last week, I knew what I wasn't. I knew I wasn't a Mormon, I knew I wasn't a Jehovah's Witness, I knew I wasn't a Buddhist, I knew I wasn't an atheist. So I was kind of confused, you might say, because I knew there was God, and I knew it was Jesus, but I chose not to follow him. I did what I wanted to do. I went where I wanted to go. I spent my money where I wanted to spend my money, and nobody told me what to do. I did life my way, the way I wanted to, and I didn't, you know, follow God. My life was filled with I, with me. It was all about me. And when God finally got a hold of my heart, things just changed. I was broken down all the way. You know how sometimes you just got to be broken? You got to be broken so you can be rebuilt. And God had me at that stage, broken, ready to be rebuilt. And when he started to rebuild me, the me had to be pushed on the side. And it had to turn from me, myself, and I. How many of you are like, yeah, I listen to me, myself, and I. It's all about me, myself, and I. But it had to change. And it had to be about God. God first, and then others. And slowly, me had to be pushed on the side. And when I knew about God but didn't follow him, I was at a very dangerous place. And I believe if I kept on that path, one day I would probably end up in hell. And I probably would have been very shocked. It's like, wow, what am I doing here? You know? And God got a hold of me. And he changed my thinking because I believed that there was a God, but I didn't serve him, didn't love him, didn't follow him. And like I read last week in James 2:19, you believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. See, the demons believe in God, but they shudder. Why? Because God came to save us. He didn't come to save the demons, the devil. So all they look forward to is the final judgment. And that's why they shudder. Today, as we continue in the believer versus the Christian, we're going to look at five things believers and Christians do or don't do. And we can use this as a guide, not for your spouse, all right? It's for us to look in the mirror, examine our lives, so that we can say we follow Christ and our lifestyle can line up with that. Because we can believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ, but not reflect that in our lifestyle. So continuing on, we went through 5 points last week. We're going to go to 5 more. And if you want to, like I said, you can go listen to the message from last week online. Number 6, a believer will sacrifice when it's convenient. A Christian will sacrifice no matter the potential outcome. In Matthew 4:19 and 20, Jesus said this. And he said to them, his disciples, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Boy, I hate to be the guys with them because they had to clean up the nets. Imagine, like, oh, see you later. I'm out of here. Right? Imagine if we was cooking and cleaning and cooking and making all this mess. And then Jesus called all your helpers. Hey, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Boom, they dig out and you get stuck with all the cleaning. Immediately, they followed him. They didn't hesitate. And it probably wasn't convenient for them either. And then in Luke 9:59, he said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go bury my father. Jesus called the next man with the same words. And this man's reply, he first wanted to go bury his father. Some interpretations say that maybe his father was already dead. Some people think that, you know, maybe if he was already dead, he would be involved in the funeral procession. But some people think that his father was ready to die. So he said, wait, Lord, let me bury my father. I think maybe some people say that he was waiting for the dad to die so he can collect the inheritance. But point is that Jesus was making to him that proclaiming that the kingdom of God was here was more important than this man burying his father. But he didn't. He made excuses as to why not to follow Jesus. In Mark 10:28, Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields with them. Persecutions also in the age to come, eternal life. You see, it took a lot for these people to drop what they were doing and follow Jesus. But Jesus said, they're going to get it back. When I left my job at HPM, man, it wasn't convenient. You know when you get that job that you've been working all your life for, you finally say, like, oh, I'm there. I've arrived. I work Monday through Friday, 7 to 5. I got great benefits. I got pay that I can pay my bills and make ends meet. I am there. And then the Lord says, no, you're not. No, you're not. I'm going to take you out of that and put you over here. And so it wasn't convenient. It wasn't guaranteed. A pay cut, maybe 5 years. Because Pastor Alex said when he retires, in 5 years, I resign, and it's up to the new pastor to hire me. And I was thinking, like, who in their right mind would quit a job where they give you free tools, right? I guess I wasn't in my right mind. Yeah, I was crazy for Jesus. And so you know the answer to that. I said, yes. How do you tell your wife? How do you tell your wife, honey, I'm quitting my job for a job with less pay and no guarantees of a future? How do you do that? And you know what? She didn't say, I'm out of here. She could have. Say, I'm out. She could have called me crazy, nuts, stupid, whatever. But I always blame her because I told her, you prayed for me. You should have just prayed for an usher. Right? She prayed for me, but it wasn't convenient. God was calling me to work at New Hope. I never felt worthy to work at New Hope. I never knew what I was going to do. I didn't have any plans. I just was going to go up there and think, what am I going to do up here? So I did some cooking. I did some repairing. I did a little bit of everything. And then one day, you know, I end up getting my license. It wasn't convenient. It wasn't comfortable. Didn't think I was worthy or faithful enough to do this job. It's actually kind of scary that it would not just affect me, but my family. But it did, in a good way. So it is sometimes the sacrifice you make is not going to be convenient. But if we're going to follow Christ fully, we just need to make that sacrifice. Amen? Number 7, a believer tithes when there is no risk. A Christian will tithe no matter the risk. That's a very difficult one to follow. It's easy to give when we have. In Mark 12, 41 to 44, and he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors into the treasury. For they put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." It's easy to give when we have extra. But to give when we're not sure our next meal comes from, or how we're going to pay your rent or utilities, that takes a lot of faith to trust God that much that what he says about bringing the tithe into the storehouse, and that it's a test that if he will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on us. I've been there, and I experience the windows of heaven pouring out a blessing on me. And even that is spooky, because now you are faithful with this little bit. Now he gives you more, and now you get to be faithful with that much more. It's kind of spooky to have a lot and to have to be faithful with the lot because you were faithful with the little. Number 8, a believer conforms under the pressure of culture. A Christian resists against temptation. Romans 12:2, and I love this scripture. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. We are not to be like a chameleon. Put them on something green and it turns green. Put them on something brown and it turns brown. We cannot conform to the culture of this world, the pressure that is put on us. Whether it's our belief or morals, the Bible is clear on what we should do, how we should behave, and if we never read the Bible, then we'll never know and probably end up conforming to this world instead of being transformed by the power of God and the Holy Spirit. It's easy to conform under pressure, but to stand up and to say no because the Bible says this or the Bible says that. Now that's what we need to do. Resist against the temptation to conform to the culture of this world. Number 9, a believer will share their faith when it's comfortable. A Christian will share his or her faith regardless of the situation. You ever been in the market and somebody asks, "Hey, can you pray for me?" And do you like stop right then and there and pray for them? I mean, I've been in the aisles of supermarket praying for people. Years ago, we were on a flight from LA to Honolulu. The plane broke down, And there was a line from the front of this terminal through all the ropes across to this side counter, because this side counter was closed all the way down. And we were like second and third in line, me and my wife. And you would just hear everybody, you know, when you're stuck in one long line, you hear everybody grumbling, yeah? Oh, they should open up another line. Oh, what's wrong? And, you know, thank God that they held us, because would you want to go on a broken plane? I wouldn't. So we were like second in line. Second in line probably took us half an hour to an hour just to get to the front, to the counter. So when they got to the front, and you could see the countenance on the ticket person's face, it was not good. And I stood there, and I asked, can I pray for you? They looked at me with like shock. Seriously? All these people are waiting, and you want to pray for me? I said, yeah, I want to pray for you, because I know you're getting crap, and it's not your fault. I don't want to go on a broken plane, but these guys grumbling. So we stopped, we prayed for them, and they were like, thank you so much. And I believe it planted a seed. I mean, so there's going to be times. Like I got to pray for that Muslim guy the other week. That was so cool. There's going to be times when you're going to be asked to share. God's going to ask you to share your faith. And it's not going to be convenient. It might be a party with a whole bunch of unbelievers. And they're going to look at you because they know you go to church. And they're going to ask you, can you bless the food? And then you're going to start sweating. Oh, my goodness. What do I do? Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Amen. Yeah? I mean, what are you going to do? It's not convenient because you feel the pressure, especially if you're not used to praying in public. Right? How many of you that happens to you? They ask you to do that. You know, when I was at HPM, I was there during the 80th celebration, and we had a big dinner at Nani Mount Gardens. I was a young Christian, and they asked me, can you bless the food? I was like, wow, holy smokes. All in front of my peers, you're asking me to bless the food. It's like, you got it, man. I would do that. Wasn't convenient. It's kind of spooky, you know, because now everybody in the company would know that you go to church. So now, when things go bad, you cannot swear. Right? You cannot cuss. You cannot blame. They know. So your character wouldn't have to be like, gotta be like, kind of flawless. When something happens, they're watching how you handle it. It's not convenient. Right? Regardless of the situation, when you are called to pray, to share, will you be ready? How many of you got your testimony written down so you can do it? You can share it on any given moment in less than 5 minutes. Anybody out there? One. Yes. Good for you, John. Anybody else? Seriously. If somebody asks you about your faith, you're going to like, I don't know. Write it down. It might be 4 or 5 pages, but then get it down where you can do it 3 to 5 minutes, because you know what? You might not have that much time. So that when somebody asks you about, why do you go to church? Why do you celebrate Christmas? What do you celebrate about Christmas? I don't know. Write it down so that you can. I love sharing my story, because it's a story of transformation. I'm a walking miracle. People know me before, and they look at me now, it's like, what the heck happened to you? Yeah. They actually, when they find out what I do and what happened, they actually swear. Really, because they cannot believe it. From the guy being drunk dancing on the tables to the guy in front of 100 people sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's so powerful. And when you get to share your faith, regardless of the situation, it is just wonderful. In Luke 9:26, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes into in his glory and the glory of his Father and the holy angels. As Christians, you know, we're going to have opportunity to share Jesus. I may have the opportunity to share Jesus in front of 100 people in a funeral. You may have the opportunity to share with your coworker. I may not have that opportunity. But believe me, we all will have that opportunity. And either way, the opportunity is always there. It might not be comfortable. It might not be convenient. But are you willing? Are you ready to share this with others? Whether it's comfortable, convenient, or not. The Bible says to be ready to give an explanation for our hope. Because we have hope. Amen? Number 10, a believer twists the Bible to fit his or her lifestyle. How many of you remember that? People pulling out scripture out of context. A Christian works to make his or her lifestyle resemble the teachings of the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, one of my favorite scriptures. All scripture, inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. You know, if you wanted to, you could select scriptures, take them out of context, so that they justify a lifestyle that looks righteous but is not. The devil takes scriptures out of context to try and fool us. We need to make our lives line up with the scripture and not the other way around. The Bible should be our standard for living. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trust him. Trust the scripture. Acts 20:30. Even from your own number, men will arise, distort the truth in order to draw disciples away after them. People will take scripture and try and lure you away. And that's the devil. False teachers, called savage wolves, would enter the flock, or even some of our own might distort the truth. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. One of the scriptures taken out of context. Paul said he could do everything, including handling poverty and living in abundance through him who gave him strength. This is not his expression of being prideful in his own abilities, but a declaration of strength provided by Christ. Some people say, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And they do all things bad. They take it out of context. And they use it to make their lifestyle justifiable. Another one taken out of context a lot is Luke 11:19. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. I mean, ask, Lord, give me $1 million. Yeah, we've done that. This happened to be one of the verses misinterpreted or twisted and mangled. People treat this as an ironclad promise. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. I'm asking for $1 million, I'm seeking for $1 billion, and I'm searching for it. Found it. It's in somebody else's bank account. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't matter what you ask for, whether it be health, wealth, promotion, spouse. People take that scripture as that. Biblical truths come along and insist on viewing this verse in the context. And this passage is part of a much larger narrative where Jesus already told us what to ask for. He told them, ask for things such as your daily bread, the beginning of his kingdom, forgiveness of sins. And it's after that, he says, ask and it will be given. I believe as long as we ask for things that is within God's will, then he'll grant us. You know, ask. What do we ask for? We ask for the salvation of our co-workers, our brothers, our sisters, our families, our parents, our children. We ask that the word of God be spoken and preached to the ends of this earth. We ask that disciples will be made. You know, as long as it's in God's will. You know, this message came about where I was looking at my life and I was thinking like, man, if wherever you may be at in the state, if you believe but not yet following, or if you're following but, you know, you're struggling with it, wherever you may be on the scale, I want to get you from just simply a believer to an actual Christian who reads the word of God, follows his commands, and that your life would be transformed so that people looking at you like, wow, something is different. That person is not of the world. He's of a different world because we belong in heaven, and that's our kingdom. That's our future. That's where we belong. I want to get you from just being a believer to being a Christian who is mature, who is fruitful, and who will be making disciples of their own. I want to get you from here to here and to get your life transformed. I want to see you not just believing that there is a God like I once did, believing that there was a God, but not following him. I want to see you turn your life over and say, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. How many of you ever asked, say, Lord, use me? That's another spooky one. I see some hands back there. And you know what? The hands of those went up. You know them. You see them up here because the Lord is using them. I dare you to pray that prayer, Lord, use me. And watch what he will do to your life. He will get you uncomfortable, shake up your life, transform. And you know what? It is exciting. It is exciting. It is fulfilling. It is the best life you can live. It, tell you what, it will be far from boring. It'll be just like, it's like riding one of those roller coaster rides, because it'll be like, hang on, because Jesus is going to take you for an adventure of a lifetime. And it's going to be great. It's going to be great. And I tell you what, don't wait to ask the Lord to use you. Amen. All right, you can put away your notes. I don't know, is it early? It's a little bit early. But you know what? I tell you what, better end. Nobody ever complained of a speaker ever finishing early, right? Only when they go like 10:20, 10:30. Oh, when is this guy going to stop talking? Yeah. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Let me put away your notes. I'm going to ask each one of you, if you have never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, because you need to. Jesus loves you so much that he is not going to force his way into your life. The devil will. He will force his way in. He will try to, you know, get you bent out of shape, kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus loves you so much that he asks you to open the door of your heart and to let him in, because there is love. Amen. So I'm going to ask you, bow your heads, close your eyes, and if you desire to have a relationship with Jesus, to go from somebody who just merely believing to somebody who's accepting and being transformed, pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? No shame now. Anybody out there? All right. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for those of us who may just merely be believing you, that we would make the choice to more than believe, but to read your word, to obey, and to actually follow what you ask him to do. And for each and every one of us here, I pray that on their own, in their time with you, that they would say, Lord, use me. Or even to be more bold, whatever it takes. That it was put out for them to pray. And Lord, if they pray that prayer, I pray that you would equip them to do what you called them to do. That you would use them in such a way that it would change the lives of people around them. We thank you so much, Lord, for showing us what it means to merely believe and what it means to actually be a Christian, to say, I am a Christian, I am a follower of Christ, not to be ashamed. So, Lord, I pray and I thank you for this. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Would you all stand? And we're going to sing and make joyful noise unto the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Scott.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.